Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Psalm 42. We're going to look at Psalm 42 and 43 today. Psalms 42 and 43. Book of Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. It is a book of songs. And so right at the heart of God's word to us is an inspired collection of things that we are to say to him and to one another, and as we see in these Psalms, to ourselves. This is God's word to us. Let us hear the word of God. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, "Where is your God?" I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, 'Where is your God?' Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, God, and champion my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and unjust person. For you are the God of my refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God, my greatest joy. I will praise you with the lyre, God, my God. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Do you ever have a downtime? Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get frustrated and weary and Well, the psalmist did. The psalmist inspired by God, expresses his sorrow and frustration. And he even uses a modern word in this translation, verse 6 of chapter 42, Psalm 42. I am deeply depressed. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. Depression can be deadly. Literally. Sometimes people who suffer with depression give in to despair. And so it is a serious thing. But God inspired the psalmist to give us a picture of how to respond when we are battling those feelings, those thoughts. Do you ever have thoughts that, you know, don't make a lot of sense? I mean, if you stopped and thought about them, you'd realize, well, that's just stupid. You ever have thoughts like that? I mean, we all sometimes have thoughts that if they were examined, we would realize that just doesn't make sense. I've shared with many people many times the story of a phone call I received from a fellow who said that the reason he called was because he wanted to kill himself. And my response was, I don't believe you want to kill yourself, because being talked to death by a Baptist pastor is a slow way to go. Okay? The reason he called was not because he wanted to kill himself. The reason he called is because he didn't want to kill himself, but he was having obsessive thoughts that were trying to push him toward self-destruction. If you look in Mark chapter 5, you see a man who was under the control of demonic spirits. And they did a lot of things to try and push him toward destruction. And one of the manifestations of that was that he was cutting himself with stones. He was wounding himself. Modern terminology for it, self-harming. And there are a lot of people in our culture who literally do that. There are others who are more subtle in their approach. They wouldn't take something and cut the skin on their body. They harm themselves with chemicals. They harm themselves with promiscuous behavior, being sexually immoral. They harm themselves by doing really stupid things financially. They harm themselves with the way that they eat, or with the way that they drive, or with the way that they speak to others. They destroy their opportunities. They blow up their relationships. They are still self-harming. And they're following the suggestions that they think are their own impulses. But if you look at the pattern, you begin to see those are all the hallmarks of the one who the Bible says comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Depression is not a sin, but it is a serious problem for many, many people. And most people, at some point in their life, will have to deal with depression, even if they don't become deeply depressed. This guy was deeply depressed. One of the manifestations of that was this, Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. Now, what does that mean? Two things. Ongoing chronic weeping and loss of appetite. My tears have been my food. Okay? His depression is such that he's not eating properly and he can't stop crying. I've known people in this situation. One of the clearest examples of depression in Scripture on the part of one of God's choice servants was Elijah, who after God's glorious display on Mount Carmel, then received a death threat. Now, Elijah had just killed hundreds of wicked people in obedience to God's direction. And now, he is being threatened by Queen Jezebel, And instead of saying, you better not threaten me or God's going to destroy you like I destroyed the prophets of Baal, instead, he hears that threat and decides to leave town. In fact, he decided to leave town before he even arranged transportation. He went on foot. And he didn't go slowly. He ran. And he covered a great distance. He went a long way away, trying to hide from the wrath of Queen Jezebel. And he was so exhausted and so miserable and so depressed that he said, God, please just take me. I want to die right now. I don't want to go on living. And in order to restore him, God did several things. God sent an angel who provided him with food and drink and rest and sleep. Did you know that it's important for you to eat right and have a good schedule and get your sleep? Did you know that? Now, if you're depressed, it's hard to do that. But if you want to get over your depression, you got to do that. You can't wait until you're over your depression and then start doing the right thing when it comes to diet and rest. Got that? And so God arranged for him to have food and drink and sleep. And then after a while, God met with him and told him what he needed to do next. Now you and I may find ourselves at some point in our lives having a tough time staying on schedule because we just don't feel like it. And when that happens, one of the things you need to realize is that your schedule is not supposed to be based on what you feel. It's supposed to be based on what you know. Okay? That's one of the reasons that God told us that we were to work 6 days and then have a day of rest. Well, I prefer kind of a 12 and 2 schedule. God says, take one day out of seven and rest as unto the Lord. We're designed by God to operate best when we do what he says. Obey him. Do what he says. I know what it is to get so busy in ministry that I decided it was okay for me to go ahead and work on that seventh day. But the problem is once you compromise 1 week, pretty soon you're compromising another, and pretty soon you're out serving God in the midst of your disobedience. Jesus knew what it was to rest. Now, sometimes Jesus would stay up all night in prayer. Sometimes Jesus would fast. But Jesus only did that on occasion and in obedience to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. He didn't have just an erratic schedule where he couldn't do what God says he's to do. Because I'm sorry, I'm too busy serving you. And we see him time and again doing the Father's will, even when it meant saying no to pressures from others. This psalmist was depressed. He was deeply depressed. But he does something in this passage, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He does something that you and I need to learn to do. And that is, he tells himself the truth. You and I have got to learn to tell ourselves the truth. So what does he say? Well, verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Look at verse 11 of Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 43. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Pastor, didn't you say that these are songs? Yes, I did. So is that like the chorus? Yes, it is. I'm glad you picked up on that. That's basically the refrain. Well, what is a refrain? It's the part of the song you keep coming back to. It's the thing that is really the essence of the song. All the verses lead up to the chorus. And the chorus we need to get. And in this chorus, the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to whom? Himself. And he says, why are you so cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted inside of me? Why are you like this? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. So I want to ask you this morning, where's your hope? I had a financial advisor call me on Wednesday night, just before prayer service. And I try to be polite to people because sometimes it's an opportunity to witness. And I got to witness to him because he was talking with me about, you know, what my plans were, what my hopes were. And I said, well, I'll tell you this. If I lose all my savings and North Korea surprises us with an electromagnetic pulse and there's no longer any electricity and I can't go to the drive my car to the gas station and fill it up because my car's electronics are fried. And so basically I'm stranded at home and having to live off the land and all our money is worthless. I'm going to be fine. In fact, even if I die, I'm going to be fine. Because my hope is in the Lord. He created everything, and he looks out for me. And I'm trusting in him. Well, that's good. You better believe that's good. Let me tell you something. I don't have to be nervous about the future. Well, don't you think some bad things could happen? I'm sure bad things will happen. I'm not worried about it. But I mean, you know, you might have to live through some bad stuff. Yeah. Does that bother you? Well, I don't like the idea. Okay? I'd much rather die suddenly by surprise. I mean, you know, that's my preference. I would like to go, I'm in heaven. You know, that would be great. That would just be super. But we don't get to choose. And I do know this. I'm now 64 years old. Within 50 years, all my troubles will be over. Okay? And I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father forever. Forever. Well, are you sure you've been good enough? I haven't been good enough, but he has provided salvation in Jesus Christ. So I'm fine. Well, can you guarantee that? I don't have to. He did. He guaranteed my salvation. His promises are true. And so I don't have to let my feelings control my behavior. So you're saying sometimes you do have some negative feelings. Sure, we all have negative feelings sometimes. We all have absurd negative thoughts. But I know this. And so when I feel down, I'm able to say to myself, why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. He is my Savior. That means he's the one who rescues me He's not just my goal. He reached down and rescued me. If I know that, if I know him as my Savior and my God, then regardless of how I'm feeling, I can praise him. I can worship. Because it's not about feelings. Well, I don't want to do anything that isn't genuine. Well, you don't have to feel it for it to be genuine. You know, they used to have an expression, fake it till you make it. Okay? You don't have to fake it. Just do it. Just do it, because God is worthy. He's worthy. And so our praise of him, our worship of him, is not ever to be predicated on our feelings. Our praise and worship is to be predicated upon his nature, his worth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all glory, honor, and power. And so we come before him with thanksgiving, and we praise and worship him because he deserves it. And that's what this collection of songs illustrates for us over and over and over again. One of my other favorite psalms that I almost brought in this morning as part of this lesson is when he starts out by describing basically how it's just not fair. The wicked do great, the righteous suffer. It just isn't right. And then he says, you know, if I'd spoken that way, I would have betrayed the listeners. That's what I was feeling, the psalmist says. But even though I was feeling that way, God caused me to look and see the end of the wicked. God deals with wickedness. God deals with injustice. And if it looks to you like somebody's getting away with doing wrong, please know God sees, and he's going to take care of it. You and I don't need to be nervous about the future, and we don't need to be upset in the present. We do need to put our hope in the Lord. Because the creator of heaven and earth is the ruler of heaven and earth, and he is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. He is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. That is a statement of fact. So, how you feeling this morning? If I ask you how you're doing, it's because on one level I care. But I would urge you not to care too much about how you're feeling, because it's temporary. People who are really down, who are really struggling, who are heavy burdened, it's not going to last. You're not going to be that way forever. One of these days, the problems that right now seem so enormous are going to be a thing of the past. And if your hope is in the Lord, you are guaranteed eternal joy. Hallelujah. I am so glad that my current feelings, whether high or low, are not a predictor of the future. God has given us his word so that we know what's coming. And what is coming is that he shall reign forever and ever. Absolutely true. Guaranteed by God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.